God gives abundant love. Now, we mentioned a number of times through the beginning of the year that the word God gave was that 2025 will be a year of abundance. And so we've looked at a number of ways that God gives abundance and how he pours out on his people. And I want to read some of those key verses again, and then we're going to really get into his abundant love. Ephesians 3:20, now glory be to God, who by his mighty power at work within us is able to do far more than we could ever dare to ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. You see, the God we serve wants to do abundantly beyond what you can even dream. Think about that. That's crazy. And yet it says he wants to do it according to the power that works in us. We play a part in it. You know, you can't just sit back and say, well, God didn't do it. God doesn't do what I want. God didn't, you know, answer my prayer. He works through you in your life. Isn't that something? You're like, no, I just want to do nothing and he's supposed to do it all. How come he doesn't? You know, I've heard many times over the years people that are angry at God because God didn't do what they wanted, or it must be God's fault that this bad thing happened. Do you know when bad things happen, it's not God's fault? We live in a sinful world, and sinful people make dumb choices, including us. That's our fault, not God's. Well, couldn't God just stop and change all that? He could, but you see, he gave you and I authority on this earth. And people make decisions here that have consequences. And the third thing is that we have an enemy out there who wants to destroy us. So when you go through difficult things, don't get mad at God. You have three options in those cases. One, repent for your decisions that weren't good and start doing it right. Two, forgive people who have made dumb decisions that affect you and do your part. Three, use the authority given to you and rebuke the enemy who's messing with you or your family or your work or whatever it is. Okay? Those are your three options. Getting mad at God and pouting about life is not an option. That's not a good idea. When you get mad at God, you are automatically saying it's God's fault, there's no solution, so nothing can change. And when you get that mindset, guess what happens? Nothing changes. And you're actually using God as your excuse to do nothing different. Think about that for a minute. Saying it's God's fault will leave you in lack, will leave you upset, and you will not experience his abundance. You will not experience God's abundance until you realize he wants to do more than you can think, and he wants to do it through you. John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You know, I can think of a story of abundance, and I'm not even into the love part yet. We're going to get there, but I want you guys to see how God does things. I remember a number of years ago, and if some of you have been attending for a long time, you've heard this story, but let me tell it again. A number of years ago, I was out mowing the grass, and I remember praying to the Lord and thinking, Lord, how come, you know, like, we just barely get by? Like, I want to experience more. I want to have some of that abundance. This was many years ago, and I was praying this. I was mowing the lawn. And the Lord dropped in my heart that still small voice as I'm mowing the lawn. And I hear, buy the trailer next door. And I'm still mowing, and I'm like, that is the stupidest thought I have ever had. I live in an old trailer. Why do I want a second old trailer? That's actually what I thought. And I just wiped it off. I'm praying. I'm wanting God to do great things, bless us abundantly. I hear something, and I'm like, nope. That's how we are as people. This is not a day later. It is about a day later. I didn't even tell my wife that what I had heard when I prayed, because I just was like, that's so stupid. And the next day, while I'm at work, I come home for lunch, or maybe it was after work. I come home, and my wife says, oh, the real estate guy was here at our trailer. I said, why was the real estate guy here? And she goes, I don't know. He says something about the finance company is repossessing it or something, and he had to look through the place and get it. I'm like, okay, God, this is not funny. But he is in the wrong trailer. And I told my wife, he's in the wrong trailer. He's supposed to be next door. I said, we don't use a finance company. We're through the bank. And I knew we'd be making our payments. And so I said, did he leave a card? Yeah, he did. I called him up and I said, oh, hey, how are you doing? Yeah, you're in our trailer. He goes, yeah, you guys have kept it up pretty good. I said, oh, thanks. But I just want you to know you're in the wrong trailer. You're supposed to be next door. He's like, no. I know it's hard to take, you know, when this happens, but I'm in the right trailer. I said, trust me, you're not in the right trailer. Go to the other trailer. And I said, when you're getting the place listed, let me know because I'm going to buy it. And he kind of chuckled. Well, long story short, God did some miracles. We ended up buying the property right next to us. This is not an investment strategy. Do not buy old trailers. This is a God thing. And we ended up renting it out for 6 months, which brought in income, and then we sold it, and we sold it for $30,000 more than we had purchased it for. God can bring abundance if you're willing to do your part. I almost missed it completely because in my mind, that's a stupid idea. You see, God wants to bless you abundantly, but you're willing to do what he asks. So if you're going to pray that prayer, listen for what your part is because he does abundantly and he works through us. If you want abundance to pour out, but you're not willing to do even anything different, then you're not going to have abundance pour out. Abundance doesn't come through a large sum of money being given to you. Abundance comes through wisdom and a mindset change where you say, okay, God, let it flow. I know some people say, I'll take some money. Sure, we all will. Somebody wants to give us a large sum of money, we'll take it, but we're going to need abundance of wisdom to see it happen, to see it grow, to see it be useful. Anyways, enough about that. I want to get on to God gives abundant love. You see, God gives abundant love because our God actually is love. Listen to 1 John 4:16. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love. And all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. God, you see, doesn't just feel love for you. He doesn't just do acts of love for us. He is love. Think about that for a minute. He is love. And love is not just a feeling, but God's very presence is love. You see, that overwhelming feeling that we feel when we're in worship and you can feel that warmth or that, wow, this is amazing feeling. That is a feeling of God's presence, and his presence is love. This is an amazing thing. You wonder, well, how? Like, why do I feel that? Because you're feeling his presence. Someone who's feeling unloved, they can come into a worship service and they will feel good. That loneliness, that nobody loves me feeling will disappear in the presence of God because he is love. And you see, I encourage you, get in worship, get in church often. Let him bring it in. If you're feeling unworthy and depressed, you need to get in the presence of love, God's presence. If you're unable to love others, get into his love. And I can tell you this, it will overflow. And as it overflows, it will flow to others. Has anybody ever had a coffee pot that overflows? I'm just saying that because we had one overflow a little bit today. No big deal, but it overflowed a little. But the thing is, something that's overflowing automatically spreads around, doesn't it? God wants you and I to overflow with his love. We're going to get to that in just a little bit. Ephesians 3:16. I ask God from the wealth of his glory to give you power through his spirit to be strong in your inner selves. Paul is praying here for the Ephesian church. And I pray that Christ will make his home in your hearts through faith. I pray that you may have your roots and foundation in love. Where are our roots and foundation supposed to be? In love. You see, when you become a Christian, you say, yes, I'm going to serve God. You're putting your foundation on the Lord, and he is love. Isn't that amazing? So you can't call yourself a Christian and you go around bashing people. that your foundation is not in love. If you're bashing people, if you're running this one down and that one down, you're not operating out of love. You're operating out of, I know the way it is, and that's the way. Religion doesn't have a foundation in love. Religious, I don't like you, I'm going to change you, ideas is got the wrong foundation. I don't know where we're going here with this, but somebody must need this. Maybe you've been just, I hate church, but you maybe were experiencing religion, not church, and not Jesus' foundation of love. Because religion is dry, it's boring, and it's usually hurtful to others. Because religion has changed God's love into just a set of rules and our group and nobody else. But God says, have your foundation in love. And that foundation is what we're to be walking in. But let me continue. 18. So that you together with all God's people may have the power to understand how broad, how long, how high, and how deep is Christ's love. Yes, may you come to know his love, although it can never be fully known, and so be completely filled with the very nature of God. If you were here a number of weeks ago, you may have heard my wife's testimony of the dream God gave her about experiencing who he was in his love, and how God took her and showed her the stars, the universe, and when she looked up, there was no end, and when she looked down, there was no end, and when she looked this way, there was no end, when she looked that way, there's no end. That's called eternity, but that's also a picture of his love. It doesn't end. So that's why he says you can't actually know the complete depths of it, but he wants us to know as much as we possibly can right here and right now. And he wants us to be completely filled. You see, God wants you and I filled with his nature, and what is his nature? Love. You and I are meant to be filled with love, and you know, this is a great weekend to be speaking about love. We just came through Valentine's Day. Not everybody likes Valentine's Day. You know, for some, I don't have a significant other. I don't have somebody I love. You know, it's maybe depressing. But here's the good thing. The love that couples feel for each other comes from the very love of God. So you can have a great Valentine's Day with nobody because God himself, who's love, created all love. And he loves you, and he wants you to be filled to overflowing with love. We're going to stick to coffee here for a bit for our pictures. Anybody ever had a very full cup of coffee? Yeah, really full, and no lid. By the way, if that happens, don't bring it on the new rug. But anyways, full cup, no lid. I have done this many times, walking along, sploosh, sploosh, sploosh. You leave a trail behind you. I've done this in the foyer. Trail behind me, and then someone starts talking to me, and without realizing, I'm tipping my coffee cup. They're like, hey, a very full, overflowing coffee cup spreads and leaves a trail behind you. I'm going to ask you right now, do you leave a trail of God's love behind you wherever you go? Because if you're full and overflowing, you should. When you've been places and you've been with people, when you leave, there should be some signs that you were there. Not your coffee in real. I'm not talking coffee anymore. But there should be some signs that you were there. People are like, they may not know if they're not a believer what's going on, but they're like, well, that person's a really nice guy. I always feel more cheerful after they've been here. Or, you know, hey, I wonder why they're like that. Is that what you're leaving behind you? Because as a Christian overflowing with God's love, we should. We don't ever want to leave behind us, well, that person sure is nasty. I guess they're going to get what they want. That's not his love. Oh, no, here they come. Break time. Somebody else run the till. No. Anybody who's run a till knows what I'm talking about. Not this person. That shouldn't be you and I if we're believers. Did you know the tiller is not responsible for what's on the shelf? So what are you giving them heck for? You should leave behind a trail of God's love wherever you go. You need to be filled with his love to do that. Let me sidetrack just slightly here for a minute and talk a little bit about being filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, we are a Pentecostal church. We'll talk about Holy Spirit from time to time. In the book of Acts, his followers were filled with the Holy Spirit. So they were overflowing with his Holy Spirit and His power. Being filled with the Holy Spirit means you're filled with the very presence of God. When they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they spoke in other tongues, and what were they speaking about? The goodness of God, the good news of God to everybody who could hear, and people came to that good news. When you're praying to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you are literally asking God to fill you with His love, His presence, who He is. And when you do that, you're filled to overflowing, and it will pass to others. Don't ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit just because you want power or you want people to notice you. Those are all outcomes of His Holy Spirit, but you ask to be filled so that you can be filled with His love. Because being filled with His love is what He wants for each of us. You see, God pours out His love on people continually. Did you know that? God is someone who is always pouring out love. And here's what it says, 1 John 3, verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. So see what great love the Father has lavished on us. What does the word lavished mean? It means overabundantly poured it out. How many husbands here, you lavished good things on your spouse for Valentine's Day? To lavish means you did more than required. You gave more because you loved. Lavishing your love on others, your significant other, your spouse, it doesn't require lots of money. It requires lots of love. If you've got no money to go out for dinner, then cook. Your spouse will think it's awesome, even if it's not, just because you did it. So you can do showing love without money, lavishing it upon it. You see, God lavished upon us His love. He did it more than we even deserved. Isaiah 54:10, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. You see, no matter what is going on, His love will not change for you. This is good news. His love for you remains constant. His love for you is steady and sure, and He pours it out continually. Psalm 36:5, your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains, your justice like the great deep. You, Lord, preserve both people and animals. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. See, the God we serve loves so much that He is there for you at all times. He uses a term at the end, they take refuge under the shadow of His wings. To understand that term, you need to have raised chickens or watch TV about chickens. Okay, who has raised chickens before? This picture that they're showing is the idea of a mother hen looking after her baby chicks. Who likes baby chicks? Yeah, so do hawks and owls and foxes. They love baby chicks. Well, I grew up on a farm and we raised some chickens, and sometimes, you know, instead of just collecting the eggs, we'd let the hens nest and they sit on them for a number of days, and eventually those little chicks hatch out and they'll run through the bush, and if there is any danger at all, guess what the mama hen does? Any danger, her little chicks are going all over, they're pecking in the dirt, they're so cute and fuzzy, and all of a sudden the hawk flies over. The mama chicken does this. And she spreads her wings out. That's pretty good chicken. They talk different when they're scared. And all the chicks immediately hear that sound. They run under her wings. And she puts her wings down. You can't tell there's any chicks. Neither can the hawk or the owl or anybody else. She protects them completely. And sometimes the couple little brave ones will poke their head out to see what's going on. She protects them, and God is using this picture because the people in that day knew about this. And He said, people who understand my love, take shadow, come under the shadow of my wings. You and I can be under His protection and His love continually, and nothing can harm us. You see, He loves us like that. He pours it out continually. Romans 8 and 38. I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you from His love. In other words, He is not going to take it away. Did you know that if you feel like, I don't feel His love, I don't think He loves me, there's only one person in your life that can cause you to not feel His love, and that's you. You see, you can walk away from His love, but He will never take it from you. And when people walk away from the love of God, it's always because they are deceived or do not understand who He is, and they blame Him for stuff that is not His fault. But when you know the true love of God, you will stay in that place under the shadow of His wings. And if you've walked away and you're saying, I don't feel His love, then I want to tell you right now, today, come back. His love hasn't changed. He will forgive you. And He's got good things in store. I want to go to this next point, and it's this. God's love never ends. We kind of mentioned it. Now let's look at some scripture. God's love never ends. Anybody here, you're in a relationship, you thought you were in love, and it ended? Yeah, if you've been in school and boyfriend, girlfriend stuff, he broke up with me! And it's like the world is coming to an end. Or nowadays, it's the guys, I can't believe it, she dumped me. I don't know, but you get the picture. It happens, right? That's the love some of us understand, and it's crazy. But that type of love ends. God's love doesn't ever end. God is not going to show up one day and say, I'm dumping you. I found somebody better. He's not. Because He treats you like one of His children, and you don't dump your children, no matter what. You love them. You want them to do well. You want them to succeed, but you don't dump them ever, and God will not dump you. Lamentations 3:22. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. They don't end. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8. All the special gifts and powers from God will someday come to an end, but love goes on forever. Someday prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge, these gifts will disappear. You see, God's love will go for all eternity. The special gifts of His Holy Spirit, they're for here and now. The word of knowledge, word of wisdom. You know, in heaven, you won't need those gifts. Healings and miracles, those are gifts for here. But in heaven, there will be no sickness. There will be no miracles necessary. In heaven, we'll know all things. There'll be no need for word of knowledge or wisdom. We'll know everything in His presence. But the one thing that will continue and never end is His love. Isn't that amazing? You can love Him now as He loves you, and that will continue forever. That's why when we worship Him and we're giving out our hearts to Him and He's pouring back in, we know we are experiencing something right here and right now that happens in heaven. It will continue. So I encourage you, get into the worship. You've been given an opportunity to do things that happen in heaven right here on earth. Go ahead and worship. Don't be like, oh, I'll wait till heaven. No, do it now. Worship. Love Him. Psalm 136, verse 1. This was a song that they obviously were singing. And I don't know exactly how it sounded, but we'll read it anyhow. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Then the next line is a line that they repeated. So it was probably a little bit like a group choir song. You know, somebody says the first part, and somebody says the second part. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. And then maybe the person leading would say, give thanks to the God of gods, and everybody would answer, his steadfast love endures forever. They're repeating it over and over. His love endures forever. I found something out. God repeats things that matter. And you and I learn by repetition. Sometimes getting it through our heads, we need to hear it more than once. And this song continued. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him alone who does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. In verse 6, it says, to him who spread out the earth above the waters, and all of the congregation would answer, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever. The moon and stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. I don't want you to ever forget that. His love does not end. You see, because of God's love and who he is, we actually have the ability to love others. We could not truly love others without his love first being poured out. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. 1 John 4, verse 9, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God has loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. Wow! God wants to show his love to the world. He wants to show his love to Slave Lake. He's going to do it through us. He's going to do it through you and I. You see, we are called to love each other the way God loved us. And God's love is real. When you have his love in you and flowing out to others, you are doing what God does. You're showing you care and you understand. If you're struggling to love people around you, I want you to spend more time in God's presence. Now, I got an example story that happened not too long ago. As a family, last week we were in Banff for our ministers' gathering. So all the PAOC pastors and families from Alberta and Northwest Territories get down for this big meeting. And we stay in a hotel there in Banff. And we were at the hotel, and as our family, we just get one room with two queen beds, and we have two teenagers and a four-year-old and my wife and I, so we were all in the room. And I was pretty sure I had asked for a rollaway bed, but we didn't have one, but it's okay. We were like, she's 4 years old, she can sleep anywhere. So we pulled two big chairs together, and our youngest was sleeping there. And you get stuck in a room with all of you. It's different than being in a big house. And nobody has anywhere to go but in the room. And we're going to find out how much we love each other. And you know what? Our family really does good. They're kind of used to this, but our four-year-old wasn't sleeping too well on the chairs, and she's waking up, and then she's whining. If anybody knows me, whining is not something I'm good with. And everybody's trying to sleep. And I hear one of the teenage girls like, oh. And everybody's feeling it. And they all know me, that I can't handle that the most. Like, it's just like too much. But I felt love for our four-year-old. I understood, okay, we're away from home. We just drove for 7 hours to get here. She's stuck in a car seat. Now she's in these chairs and can't really stretch out. But boy, she's half asleep and she is not happy. And so I get up and I go over there and I'm talking to her. You know, what is it? What do you need? And the only thing that would come out, Oh, Lord, give me love. And so, you know, through the whiz, and then I kind of find out, oh, her stuffies have fallen off. So now I'm crawling around in the dark looking for stuffies. Why don't kids just have one stuffy? Why do you need four? But anyways, I find all the stuffies. I get them back in there, and she's still, it's not. And so I'm like, you know what? I love this kid. And I thought, I'm going to rub your back. I'll scratch your back. And she's like, she didn't really want to, but scratched her back, and it went from, I had to. She's out sound asleep. And if you know our family, everybody in the room was like, it's a miracle. Dad did not get upset. And we had a great sleep. But I had a feel for how God loves us. He cares so much about us. He understands what we're going through. And he's not going to freak out with you. He's going to love you. And he wants us to be like that with people. And I've found if we can understand what they're going through, it's way easier to love them. So if you have somebody who's just annoying you, oh, it's just they're difficult, ask God to show you what they're going through, and it's way, way easier to love. Because God wants us to love the same way he does. John 13 and verse 34. A new commandment I give you, Jesus says, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this will all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Did you notice he said it three times? Love one another, love one another, love one another. When you read in Scripture and they repeat it, it means it is important. Love one another. I want to say this to parents. Parents, do you know the greatest thing you can do for your kids is if you love one another in front of them? You want your kids to serve God? You want your kids to grow up and have some values like you do? If you're always fighting and arguing in front of them, they don't care about anything else you have to say. Because love is the foundation. Love is the main thing. You want your teenagers to love you as parents? Love one another first. And if you can't figure it out, you're always fighting, then get help outside of where you are. Ask a professional for help if you can't figure it out, because it matters more than you can imagine. Your kids will not even believe you love them if you can't love each other in front of them. You can say it, you can buy them stuff, but if you're always angry at each other, your kids won't even believe you love them. And when they get older, they're not going to want the same things you were involved in, because they're going to connect it. And guess what? For some reason, they understand that you're a representative of God's love. And when they see a representative of God's love that fails miserably, they don't want God. Now, thankfully, they can grow up and realize, okay, my parents aren't the same as God. They aren't the authority figure like God. God is never messed up. He doesn't do it wrong. And I want to say to here, if you're in here and your parents maybe had a really poor example, and you feel like, yeah, God's probably the same way. He's not. He's good. And he loves you. And I want you today to understand this. Because of God's love, we can be forgiven and made whole. You see, in Romans 5:7, and I'm wrapping up now. Most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, it says. Though someone might die or be willing to die for a person who's especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. See, God's love is not based on our performance. God's love is based on who he is. We shouldn't base our love for our kids or others on their performance, but we should base it on what God has filled us with. You see, true love doesn't say you have to perform just right. True love doesn't say, if you do this, I'll love you. True love from the Lord says, I love you no matter what. In John 3:16, the verse we know so well, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I want to end with this. And church, if you truly want to experience the love of God, the first thing you need to do is ask him to be your Savior. You need to ask him to forgive you and come into your life. We call it salvation or following Jesus. You see, God sent his son and he hung on a cross and he bled and he died in our place so that we could be forgiven and once again have a right relationship with our Heavenly Father who is love. And he said, I'm doing this for you. It's a free gift. He said, all you need to do is receive it. And he told us clearly that we can receive salvation, forgiveness, start that life of following him simply by believing and using our mouth to say it. So here at church, we do this often, and if you come, you know I do it almost every single time. We're going to take a minute to say a prayer that just lets you use words for what you're feeling right here, right now. And if you're willing to do that with us, you can know that you've been forgiven, that you are a Christian. So just bow with me, and I'm going to ask you all to repeat this after me for that one or two who maybe are doing this for the first time. Let's pray. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died for me, and I ask you now, forgive me of all my sin. Make me new. Today, I choose to follow you. Amen. Give God praise for that this morning.